You are now online with Andrea, with your host, Andrea Garrison.
Good afternoon. Welcome. You are now online with Andrea. I am your host, Andrea Garrison, and I'd like to encourage all of our listeners to practice the universal law of giving by doing whatever you can to reach out to help others. Our topic today is the book, Awakening the Chakras, the Seven Energy Centers in Your Daily Life by Victor Daniels, Cooch Daniels, and Peter Veltervied. And our guest today is the awesome and amazing Cooch Daniels. Hello there, Cooch. How are you?
Well, I'm a lot better after that introduction. How sweet is that?
Well, that's great. Well, you know, it's a beautiful book and a wonderful topic. So if you would please tell us about... and you may have to help me with the pronunciation. Sri Harish, is it Johari?
Yes.
And how you discovered his work? Tell us about that.
The first time I discovered his work, I picked up a book at a bookstore. It was an outdoor book. And I picked up his book and fell in love with it. And the name of the book was Leela, the Game of Life. And I wound up calling my daughter Leela. But you have to believe, shortly after that, about a year later, he came to the university where I had been a student. And I saw that he was going to be doing a presentation. And I went to the class and I followed him back to where he was staying. And I became a devotee. He was an amazing, wise, very wise soul.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So why did you decide to write the book? And why did the three of you decide to collaborate on this project? And what was your approach in presenting the teachings of Sri Harish Johari?
How about if we take one of those at a time? The reason we wrote the book is because of Harish, and we wanted to help his legacy. He was such a wise, wise master, spiritual master, and we had gained so much from him. We wanted to give something back, and I don't know if you believe in communication with the other side, but I had dreams with him and had communications with him on the other side, and I just felt like there was more work to do with him. And Victor and I went to India and met with different gurus to discuss chakras. It was very enriching for our own personal path, and we just kept building upon the resources that we already had. Peter had been Harish's master protege, a student who followed his artistic, who could actually do the same art that Harish had been teaching all of his students, which was yantra mandala paintings. And we had met Peter through Harish, and we would be asking Peter about his drawings because we had asked if we could use some of his drawings in our book because they're so illuminating. And the more we were talking with Peter, it became obvious that he should be one of the authors with us because he knew more about his drawings and paintings than anyone, and that he should be talking about them instead of us talking about them secondhand. And he came into the book writing project about when it was about two-thirds already done and it had been accepted, the proposal had been accepted to be the third author. And it's just kind of magically evolved.
Yeah. So what is your approach in, you know, what was your approach in presenting the teachings of a master? I mean, did you feel overwhelmed at any point or intimidated at all?
Well, I think life is pretty intimidating, but doing chakras or studying chakras, it's an inner journey instead of an outer journey. And the whole reason that people work with chakras, it's something that if you do, if you practice yoga, you're going to know about chakras, because the chakra system is a yogic system, and it's a system for gaining more knowledge, inner knowledge, self-realization, and ultimately enlightenment. So if you're a yogi or you're following, doing hatha yoga and going to a yoga studio, you're going to be encouraged to connect with your chakras. And in many ways, going inwards can be intimidating, because there you are, meeting your inner self and trying to be real and authentic and really connect with who you are inwardly. And you have to get comfortable being alone, because it's not a journey that you go on with someone else. So there are a lot of inward lessons that come along with learning about your chakras. And I think looking at the outer world, studying chakras or even writing about them is way less intimidating than reading the newspaper lately.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that. Now, before the show, we were discussing the pronunciation. Some people say chakras, some say chakras, and so, which is correct, or does it matter?
I think it would depend on what temple you are practicing in. If you live in India or in the Himalayas, there are different dialects and different languages, so many that we can't even, you know, I can't remember how many different languages there are just in India alone. And within each language, there's different dialects. So there's so many different ways to pronounce words that have that are derived from Sanskrit, which is the spiritual universal language of that part of the world. So my sense is it's really going to depend on what temple you go to or what ashram you're a member of and how they feel it's best to pronounce chakras. And I don't think it, I mean, personally, and I could be wrong because I don't know universally the best answer for your question, but my sense is it's not so much the correct pronunciation as what you're doing with it.
Right.
Because it's not just a word, it's a practice. So I think the practice of understanding chakras or working on your chakras, the inner journey, that's the most important thing, that is very personal and it's unique, and it doesn't matter how another person's doing it or how another person's pronouncing it. It's how you're working on yourself and what you're learning and how you can evolve, because it's all about evolving consciousness.
Okay.
Waking up. That's why the book is called Awakening. The chakras are about awakening your inner being.
Right. Okay. So someone who's listening, who hasn't taken a yoga class or hasn't studied yoga at all, if they said to you, what are chakras, what would you say to them? And then if you would also briefly tell us about the chakras, the seven energy centers.
Okay, I can do that, but I don't want to do a monologue because I think people get, you know, annoyed just listening.
Well, hello, are you there? Yeah, I heard a tone, which was interesting.
Every chakra has a different tone, by the way.
Yeah, that was interesting.
So maybe, you know, the universe is already knocking on your inner hearing of what chakras are about. But there are seven main chakras, and they sit right along, well, right behind your spine. It's a horizontal consciousness is the left and right brain. In the West, we think of consciousness, left brain, right brain thinking, the two hemispheres of the brain. But in the East, it's vertical consciousness, which is the chakra system, and it extends all the way from the very crown of the head all the way down to the bottom tailbone of your spine. And there are seven centers, energy centers, that are directly correlated with the different glands. And each one of these centers corresponds with a different understanding of life and how you are inwardly. The bottom chakra, the first chakra, your root chakra, is the Muladhara chakra. It connects with the element earth. It's about security, connecting with your sense of self, the awakening of ego, and how you relate to the world from your secure home base that you have either in the world itself or within yourself. You want me to do all seven chakras, Andrea?
Yes, if just briefly, because I understand that, and that this is, it's an inner journey, but if you can just explain it briefly, and I would encourage people to get the book, of course, so that they can have their own experience. But if you would please continue, that would be great.
Okay, well, everybody's, in our Western culture, they're very excited about the second chakra. The second chakra is connects with the sexual glands, and it's called the passion chakra. It has to do with passion, intimacy, emotional connecting with people on a very passionate, intimate level. It connects with the element water, our feelings, our intuition. People usually know about their second chakra, or they want to connect with the second chakra. And then the third chakra goes up to the navel area. And in martial arts, instead of calling it the Manipura chakra, they say this is where your chi is. But there's a chakra right beneath your navel, or right in that area, and it connects with your power center and how you assert yourself, or if you're timid, because chakras can either be strong, like somebody being dominant, or they can be weak, where a person is timid, because it's the same chakra, but it's different energy within that chakra. But the third chakra is the power center and your confidence center. We all love our fourth chakra because it's all about love. It's the heart center. So right next to your heart is right along the spine is the Anahata center, or the chakra of the love chakra. And people want to open this chakra because opening this chakra means compassion and connecting with your empathy to understand and be one with others, and opening the heart. So it's a very sweet and loving energy that is connected with this chakra. Actually, it's the middle between the lower ones that we've just talked about and the higher ones. So this is a chakra of balancing what goes on in the world, what you do in the world, which is your lower three chakras, and how you're aspiring to evolve to higher consciousness, which is what we do with our higher, the top three chakras. So the fourth chakra is right in the center, and it balances the higher and lower energies. And then the fifth chakra is the throat chakra, the Visuddha, and it connects with communication, how we hear, communicate, talk. I'm using my fifth chakra right now, talking a lot. It's all about how do I get my message across? How do I project my words? Can I sing? Am I talking poetically? It's all about words and how I use my intellect to communicate. And then the sixth chakra is very popular these days because so many people want to develop their intuition or open their third eye. And that's the Ajna chakra. And there's many pictures that people see with a triangle with an eye in the middle. And oftentimes people call this like a good luck symbol or a symbol of the third eye. That represents the Ajna chakra. And the more you awaken, the more your intuition opens, because the third eye becomes more open. And we have to get to a place where we can leave all desires behind before we climb to the seventh chakra, which is the sixth chakra, is the jumping off place where you open your mind, your intuition. You become globally aware on a intuitive level, or you become aware of the collective unconscious, how we are all one. You have to get to that place and jump from that place before you can open the crown chakra, which is called the thousand petal lotus, or the Sahasrara crown chakra. And this is where we can't really talk about it in words, because it's beyond intellect, it's beyond logic, it's beyond words. It is the realm of meeting your maker or cosmic consciousness. So we know that it's there, and spiritual masters who have gone into that seventh chakra, or who can communicate their experiences that they've had being there, they say you can't really talk about it because there's no words to explain it, and you can't really know about it until you experience it. But it's all about God realization, self-realization, nirvana, going to the highest awakening of the human mind.
Ah, yeah, that's beautiful, really beautiful. I wanted to read an excerpt from your book. It says the sages who created the chakra system had an even more ambitious goal. They saw society itself as crazy in certain ways, and what we typically call normal as part of that craziness. Normal does not mean sane. It means the norm, the average. To be lost in illusion means that we often act in ways that are a result of mistaking our ideas and socially conditioned responses for reality itself. We legalize ways for some people to become incredibly wealthy, while others stalk the streets in hope of avoiding starvation. Some of us are inwardly turned against ourselves, and outwardly antagonistic toward others. We forget that living in inner and outer clarity, kindness, and harmony is possible, since both psychological insights and chakra work can offer greater understanding of our personal hierarchy of needs. Their truths can overlap. Each of us is surrounded by forces that dominate our minds and lives. As long as people have been on earth, we have been calling these forces deities. It is a way to express our amazement and admiration for the mysteriously beautiful creation of this universe. When we can experience this as filled with love and care, we call it divine. We try to express with this word our awareness of some transcendent consciousness that is behind the game of life. We created forms for these divine forces to express their different characters. These forms are made by humans to get more understanding of the forces that are present in nature. When we can see the divine in them, we can more easily free ourselves from desires that try to push us in harmful directions, away from desires that we identify with so fully that they become the central motivating forces that create the psychodramas of our lives. Developing the full positive potentials of the chakra levels toward more understanding of supreme consciousness and the divine. The divine can also be translated as the inexplicable. It can only be experienced. It is the most profound of all experiences.
Wow, thank you for reading that. That's inspirational, even when I hear you reading it. It's like, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, you know, you say that checking out what's happening in each of your chakras requires examining your internal energies. You know, we keep hearing about the internal energies, and which is interesting because there's so much focus in the world on the outer, it seems, and not enough on the inner.
There are way more teachings in Western society on how to be successful in the outer world than in the inner world. Our focus is on making money, being successful in the world. We don't talk about being successful by finding peace and inner harmony. We talk about success more in worldly terms.
Yeah.
And it's like how you look to other people is more important than how you look within yourself oftentimes.
Yeah. You know, now I'm wondering about, is it something in terms of awareness or your understanding of your chakras? I mean, do you ever really master that? I mean, or it's, would you say it's a continuing journey in inner exploration that never ends?
If you were enlightened, you would probably say, I've reached the ultimate goal. I've done all the work I can do, because where do you go from cosmic consciousness? Where do you go from understanding that we are all one and really having that personal, inspired, illuminated sense of your own soul? Where do you go from that? I think at a certain point, we get little hints of that there is something like that. And when we feel something like that, it's like an encouragement to try to understand it or try to see it. Try to dig in. Where do I get more of that? How do I turn on that faucet? So I think we get encouragement to follow an inner path. The more we follow one and we get little glimpses of divine, and that we can tap into something that's cosmic and beyond this finite world that we're so encompassed by, it gives us an encouragement to grow and try to learn more and do more to awaken that force within us, because it's an infinite, there's an infinite potential within. And studying the chakras says, it's a path of like, study your infinite potentials. What is in there? How do you reach that ultimate vision of conscious life that we, as we know it? So my sense is, you know, we're all getting little glimpses of it once in a while. But it's only if you really make a serious commitment to study that path, which involves meditation and spending a lot of time pursuing inward instead of outward goals, are you going to be able to reach that ultimate, like, oh, there's no more work for me to do.
Yeah, that must be some place to be, to say that there's no more work. Now, question, what would you say, and I don't know if you could even put it in words, but what would you say your chakra awareness level was before writing the book, during writing the book, and now that the book has been written?
To be very honest, I thought when I was writing, you know, when I was writing the proposal to try to get the book out there, I thought I knew a lot about chakras. I was like so sure that I knew so much about them. But then I started writing the book and I was like, oh my God, there's so much more to know. And how can I be writing this? I don't know enough. And I mean, we did study with gurus in India, and we went to India specifically to try to find masters who'd already accomplished, who had already done the work to awaken their higher centers and to find more information about, you know, how do we do that for ourselves, or how do we help other people do that for themselves. So we did a lot of work before we even started the actual writing, but the actual writing just made me realize how much there was to learn and how much I didn't know. So I had to work really hard to, like, jump higher and go deeper into what it really means and how do you really wake up these centers. So I grew by leaps and bounds writing this book, and I'm already working on another book that's already been accepted by a publisher on chakras. So I had to jump into it like on a whole nother level. So my sense is, you know, as much as I thought I knew, the more I work inwardly and try to actually put the information to practice, then I see how much more work I have to do. And so I'm nowhere near knowing enough, and I've already written two books on it.
Right. You know, and there are many that would say you're an expert on it, which is, you know, kind of ironic, right? It's like the more you learn and the more you know, the more you realize that you don't know as much as you thought.
And how much there is to learn.
Exactly.
And this discipline, this spiritual discipline, because it is a discipline, it started in the mystical Himalayas in its history is in a philosophy that's very esoteric, very hard for the Western mind to wrap itself around, with terminology that we can hardly pronounce, let alone understand the meaning behind it. So the more you actually get into trying to track down the roots of this information and where these ideas originated, and you just start unraveling this incredible wealth of knowledge that's been passed down for centuries, that's very, it's inspiring, and at the same time, it's just, wow, how do we grasp this?
Yeah, that's great. So how is meditation helpful?
Meditation's the key for any inward work that you do, and I don't care if you're trying to learn Reiki, or which is like healing. You know, you can do healing, self-healing with Reiki, or healing others. So if you're trying to do any kind of work that involves energy and going beyond logic to tapping into your intuition, meditation is the key. And that is especially true with inner work with the chakras. You have to try to quiet the mind and tune inward to do inner work. And meditation is, that's the number one way you're going to be able to do inner work.
Mm. So what is chakra correspondence?
What do you mean?
In your book, I saw the term chakra correspondence. So I was wondering if
there's different correspondences with the chakras. So
right.
If, for instance, let's see, if we were, I'm trying to think, if you're, I'm going to look actually at the fifth chakra, or the Vishuddhi, the throat chakra. So there's correspondences with the thyroid gland, because that's the gland that is connected with it. And when we talk about that correspondence, it's like the energy, the gland secretes vibrations, or they secrete fluids, or they secrete, you know, it's like if you have an adrenaline, you're shot with adrenaline. That's like a gland that's shooting that adrenaline energy. Well, all the different glands have different hormones or energies that are connected with them. So that correspondence for the throat is the thyroid. Mm. So that would be a correspondence. Or if you're looking at the astrological link, Jupiter corresponds with the fifth chakra. Or the day of the week is Thursday, Thor's day, Thor, the god Thor. So, or the element is the Akash or a space. So these are different correspondences so that you can connect with the inner world in a very systematic way, because it's not just like, well, you're just in a vague way. There's actual correspondences that connect with the physical location, that throughout the teachings that historically are connected with, like, the Akash, which is the fifth element that combines all the other earth, air, fire, water elements that comprise what matter is made of. Well, anyway, so, and then there's like Sanskrit correspondences, like the throat chakra corresponds with purifying your lower chakras through silence, actually, which is kind of interesting since the throat chakra is communication. So there's like different correspondences. I'm assuming that's what, I don't know what, if you could tell me what page and I could look at.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fine. Yeah, I didn't note the particular page on that, but I think you answered that well, you know. And for some reason, I was thinking of, you know, when you were speaking about correspondence or connecting with your heart center, you know, for some reason that came to me.
Interestingly enough, I'm going to, like, and we didn't talk about this in this book, the one that we just finished writing actually talks about the correspondences with the deities, because every chakra has correspondences with the deities, and these are deities that correspond with the conscious awareness of the mind and how we can do more inner work with understanding more of the divine within our own self.
Mm, yeah. So now let's talk about balancing the chakras. So how do we balance our chakras to unlock our potential? And do we need a guru to work with us on the chakras?
You have so many good questions.
Because of your book. It's your book, Cooch.
When I think of the word balance, I am, you know, it's like balancing chakras. It's like balancing anything else. You have to figure out, well, what are you trying to balance? So if you're trying to balance the energy in the first chakra, it would be very different. The first chakra, which is the root chakra, which is the chakra of security, and how you are at home in your physical body. It's connected with the element earth and what's tangible and how you feel in your body. So if you're talking about balancing your root chakra, it's totally different than if you're talking about balancing your heart chakra, which is all about compassion, being more at peace, inner peace, and loving. So it depends on what you're trying to balance. Or if you're trying to balance the lower chakras with the higher chakras, which we talked about briefly earlier about the fourth chakra being the center or the balancing chakra between the higher and the lower. But every chakra has like lower energy and higher energy within the chakra itself, let alone that there's lower and higher chakras, but within each chakra there's higher and lower energy. So you can try to look at how do you balance that energy that is like the positive or the ideal higher vibration of that chakra with where a person's going to struggle with the energy that they're having difficulty handling with that chakra.
Now, if someone says they are having difficulty,
and we all do.
Yeah. So would you say to them that we all have the capability to tap into our higher selves or the inner guru, regardless of how challenged we may feel?
Well, don't you think that's true? I think your question is, I think that's, your question says yes, because it's stated so perfectly.
Well, it's just, I think about the listener, and some, you know, may be more aware of the topic than others, and some may question their abilities, you know, which often happens, as you know. And some people have doubts about whether they can even do certain things. We underestimate our abilities, wouldn't you say, sometimes?
Well, if you were going to get a job and you're going to fill out, you know, your resume, and you're going to be asked what your strengths are or what your weaknesses are, and you're going to meet with people who already, you know, they can hire you or not hire you. I mean, you go through that same process of, who am I? So
yeah.
we're doing chakra work even when we go to a job interview without even thinking that, oh my God, is, you know, am I confident? How's my third chakra? Am I being assertive, or do I have weak knees right now, which means my third chakra is, I'm pumping out, like, you know, fear in my third chakra right now. So I mean, we're doing chakra work all the time, because the chakra is the path of our inner life. So even if people don't think they're doing this work, they're already doing it.
Ah, yeah, but that's beautiful.
They don't have to know that they're doing it. I mean, you go to a Christian church and you pray on your knees, you know, you're asking for awakening, but or God communication, but you don't necessarily have to, like, say, well, you know, I'm trying to open my crown chakra so that I can feel the divine. It's just like, this is what I'm doing. I want to wake up my ability to communicate and feel God. So,
yeah.
You know, people, we're all doing work on ourselves, and some of us have a harder time. Some of us have a harder childhood where we haven't been nurtured, we haven't been given love. And these people have harder times in life in general than people that are smothered with love, being told that they can fulfill their potential, that they can reach whatever goal they want, and they're encouraged to be successful. So each of us have different karma, different life paths, different places within ourselves that we're struggling with. And it's you know, it's our personal life journey.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if you call it, you know, you're going to work on your chakras or believe in chakras or not, doesn't really matter, because ultimately it's like you're working on yourself.
Ah, yeah, beautifully said. I love that. That you're working on yourself. So how does expectation, ego, and desire impact our development?
Whoa, that's like that's a whole book in itself, that question.
Well, we want people to read your book, but
In the tantric tradition, we have to honor our desires, because even the desire to be desirelessness, because some people say, you know, if you have desires, they're going to get in the way, because you're not supposed to have desires. It's like if you desire a sexual partner, then you're focused on that instead of focusing on, you know, freedom from attachment, or, you know, that you want to be independent and resourceful and, you know, not be tethered to somebody else. So, I mean, there's all these questions about desires and what to do with them. But the tantric path, as explained by Harish Yohari, he said even the desire to be desireless, there's the desire. That you cannot be on this planet in this physical form without having a desire. Because if you're desiring God, or if you're desiring to not have any desires, even though they're really beautiful desires for liberation and, you know, like the ultimate success of spiritual evolution, you still have desires. So you have to be able to accept desires, because there's other paths that say you need to get rid of all your desires. But Harish, my teacher, said you have to embrace all your desires to be able to get through them. So there's lots of different philosophies about desire. And in relation to chakras, it's part of your own learning about yourself and what your desires are and what makes you happy or feel good and what makes you feel trapped or unhappy.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So how do you know that you have achieved balance?
I think not to worry about it.
I love that. I love it.
I'm thinking about the circus Soleil acrobat.
Right.
One of the most experienced and the master at balancing, but he fell on his head, and it kills him. I mean, you can't go into ego and go, I'm going to have balance. Because as much as you practice and as experienced as you are at trying to balance your energy and staying calm during a challenge or not having your hormones blasting adrenaline when, something negative happens right next to you, it's like how do we balance? How do we balance? It's life is a constant balancing act. And how you perceive your inner self, the more you're attached to having like this idealism or this perfectionism, or the more you're attached to your ego that you are balanced, it's like, uh-oh, you're off the path already, because that's the kind of thing that, you can't have those kind of attachments and wake up your chakras. So yes, you want to have balance, but you can't be hung up on it, and you can't make that that's where your power is going to be. Because we're all prone to make mistakes. We learn through our mistakes. We all can have balance sometimes and be totally out of balance at others. And we have hormones affecting our balance. We have the outer world affecting our balance. We have life experiences that we can't control that can throw us off our balance. I mean, life is a balancing act.
Yeah.
And understanding chakras, it's a balancing act. But it's like you just have to... you just have to be the best person you can be in the moment, but not be too attached to, like, I've got to have balance. Because, this is the words of a Libra, and Libra on the astrological zodiac symbol is the balance. And I spent a lot of time looking at balance, and I just can't, like, I mean, I should be associating my sun sign, my constellation, as, oh, I'm balanced. But that's kind of like a joke.
Yeah. I know. That's beautifully said. So if I may read a little bit more of your book here, it says, but if we are stuck in one of the blind alleys of the lower chakras, probably without realizing it, our attempts to guide others may be useless or worse. On the other hand, there is the phenomenon of a person who by his or her own nature and life history has a highly developed consciousness and can help others tread that path too. To find such a guide is a blessing. Once you've attained your own enlightenment, it is said that you can return to this earthly veil of tears, sorrow, and suffering to guide others through their troubles and into a more loving and caring way to feel and be. It is also said that personal enlightenment cannot be achieved without helping others. One might even say that helping others is the best thing one can do for spiritual growth. Learning about the seventh chakra allows a glimpse of the divine will that is behind the world of sensory perception. With this realization, we start to merge into the source of it all, which is experienced as infinite space within the self. In that state of consciousness, there is no more separation. Only the witness self is there, with full insight into everything. We surrender to the will of the Supreme. We now experience bliss, ananda, directly. It is the result of following the path of Dharma. It is not possible to explain or express this bliss to others. It can only be experienced. Once our individual consciousness has evolved to completion, a last purification is needed before it can disappear in cosmic consciousness. We know the truth, Vishnu. We feel beauty, Brahma. And we do good, Shiva. Now, we simply do the job that the cosmic forces are asking from us. Throughout the whole journey, through the chakras, the search for truth was our guide. Now we realize this truth. If the divine wants to make use of us, this is the moment where we are most useful. We are ready for it. We understand now the real problems of life. No more distractions. No more selfish motives. Now, only universal needs are the focal point. A little humor is all right, lest we be too grave and serious. From your book.
I'm so happy you're reading it because I don't read it anymore, and I'm going, I should read this book again.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Well, I think of, you know, hooking up with teachers, that we all really need to be really grounded to our inner truth and be observant, because there are teachers. There was a man who was a teacher. His name was Jim Jones. Do you remember Jim Jones? He was the Kool-Aid man. Jim Jones was a very popular, charismatic teacher, and he was obviously very evolved in his fifth chakra, which, like, he could communicate, and people would do whatever he asked of them. They had a very large following that he wound up having everybody go to Guyana, or what was it, like that, I forget, it's like a small country on the east coast of South America, I forget, but then that was going to be like their utopia, and then ultimately he had them all drink Kool-Aid that he had poisoned. You know, it was like strychnine or something in the Kool-Aid, and killed all of his followers with one big party, Kool-Aid party. So, you know, you really have to be careful that you don't get swept up by listening to teachers unless you're really, really able to, like, hear them and wake up with them, and, you know, that you really are paying attention to your own truth as well as their truth. And then there are teachers that are totally pure and compassionate, like Mother Teresa or Gandhi. You know, I mean, and Gandhi changed the entire political structure of India through his truth and his honesty and his integrity. So you really have to, like, pay attention to watching your teacher and observing their actions, so that you can make sure you want to be with that person and not just accept things blindly.
Yeah, beautiful. I'm glad that you said that. Now, you say in your book, we are all part of nature's living fabric.
Aren't we? Because we are dependent on Mother Nature. Mother Nature, if she feeds us, she gives us clothes. She enables us to have water so we can survive. And, you know, we are part of Mother Nature. We are a part of the world of nature. So if we ignore that, you know, that we are one with nature and we are existing because of nature, then we're not paying attention to where we're where we're at.
Yeah.
It's just like the Amazon is called the lungs of the planet because there's so many trees and they're purifying the air. And trees purify air wherever you are. So for people to cut down trees, it's like their ability to purify air, there's less pure air. So it's like you have to pay attention. You don't want to be cutting down all the trees around your neighborhood because you're going to have more pollution.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful.
But we can't live without nature. We're a part of nature.
Right.
We're a result of nature.
Yeah. So, do you have...
I better be careful because I could start going political because of, like, people drinking water becoming totally toxic because of chemicals going into it, and then, you know, there's no way for their children not to have cancer. You know, their children are going to start showing... it's already proven children having cancer at a very young age, having tumors, because of pollutants in the water. You can't destroy nature. You're a part of nature. If you destroy nature, you're destroying yourself.
Yeah.
But that starts bringing in a lot of very intense topics right now about the environment.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. Do you have anything to share that we have not covered? And do you have any closing reflections?
Well, I think if people are interested in chakras or learning about them, that this, the book Awakening the Chakras that we've written, has some really valuable insights that have come through a lot of hard work, and you know it can help them key into how to connect with their inner self better. But what's really beautiful in this book is Peter Volterveeter's illustration that just really illuminate some of the truths of the system without even reading any words at all, because it's so vibrant, and the art in the book is just something that just makes me crazy because I love it so much.
Yeah.
But I think it's really helpful to help people see into that, to the tradition of the chakras.
Yeah. And what's the best website for those who are interested in learning more?
Oh, geez, where's Victor right now?
Well, we can do
Would
you want to say Dex Destiny Books? Should they go to destinybooks.com? Or?
Yeah, and we have a website called awakeningthechakras.com.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just saying, where's Victor? Because he knows the exact URL, and I'm like, I think it's Awakening the Chakras. And it talks about the book and Peter and Victor and gives a little information about all of us, but mostly it focuses on the book.
So awakeningthechakras.com and destinybooks.com, and they'll certainly find you.
Yeah, and Destiny, of course, will help you buy the book because they're publishing the book. So,
yeah. Well, that's great. Well, it's beautiful. Thank you so much for being here to share the story behind.
Thank you for inviting. That's really sweet that you invited us, and I'm so glad that I got to be the representative, even because Victor is not available today, and Peter, I think he's coming back from India, he does a lot of vision quests in India, or teaching and communicating about his art. So he's in India, or coming back to Holland from India. So they couldn't be available, and I was so lucky because you let me do it, and I thank you so much. It's been really a blessing.
It has been a blessing, and thank you so much for sharing your work.
And thank you for your wonderful questions. You have great questions.
Well, they were inspired by your work, so thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Mine, for sure.
Okay. Well, take care, Cooch.
Okay, take good care. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
I would like to thank our guests, author Cooch N. Daniels, for being here to discuss the book, Awakening the Chakras, the 7 Energy Centers in Your Daily Life. I would like to encourage all of our listeners to practice the universal law of giving by doing whatever you can to reach out to help others. To each and every one of you out there, thank you so much for joining me Andrea Garrison, and connecting here online with Andrea. Listen to me live or listen to the archive. Just continue connecting heart to heart. But in the meantime, do whatever you can to reach out to help others and never underestimate the power of a friendly smile. Take care.
Thank you for connecting to Online with Andrea, with your host, Andrea Garrison.